My name is Ken Peralta. I'm 58 years old. Today is May. What's today, Dad? May what? 10th. I'm speaking with my father, Oscar Peralta, and we're recording our interview at 576 Victoria Street in San Francisco, California. Dad, can you tell me a little bit about me? Tell me about your childhood. What were you like as a child?
My childhood was very good. I grew up in Honolulu, Hawaii. I had a lot of good friends. We went to the beach. I actually would dive for coins when the Matsonia Lions would come in, and with a group of young men.
Were those Japanese ships?
No, these are American Matson, line and things like that. 1939, we moved to the United States. My dad was transferred from the submarine base in Pearl Harbor to the submarine school. And he was a motor machinist mate. We worked on diesels. They had new diesels that they were going to put on the new submarines, and he was actually learning that. We actually went from New London, Connecticut. Actually, we were on 320. We were on Broad Street in New London is where we lived. We actually moved from New London down to Norfolk, Virginia, and he went through recruiter school. We left recruiter school. And he was assigned to the San Francisco, and the first year we were here in the Bay Area, I went to Berkeley. I went to school, grammar school in Berkeley. It was a good experience. I was swimming for the YMCA, had a good, that was a good experience. I actually was a traffic guard, and I went to my first as a traffic guard. We could actually go to the University of California in Berkeley, and we could sit in the end zone for free. And I watched my first American football game at that stadium.
A Cal game.
Cal Stadium, yeah.
That's awesome.
After one year in Berkeley, we moved to San Francisco, California. We were out at 22nd and Irving. We had a house that was between Irving and Lincoln Way. And I actually sold... I tried to sell newspapers at the corner, and it was kind of a start, something different. We were actually at the Golden Gate Park, and the park was really a nice outing for me to go up and down, run in the park, and actually walk in the park and just ride my bicycle in the park. It was a very good experience. We bought a house just before the World War II. I was at 67 Meadowbrook Drive in San Francisco. These were the new Dolger houses. And my dad had, they were two-bedroom houses, but my dad put in a knotty pine room downstairs with two bunk beds. And that was my room. No bathroom. We all used the same bathroom upstairs. But that was a good experience. I met my first lifelong friend was Norman McDonald. His dad was a lawyer, and mother was a lady from Missouri. Kind of a contrast in there, but they were both very, very good to me. They actually gave me the opportunity to go down to what was Mrs. McDonald's sister, and they were at the Paulk and Shipley Ranch. Bill Paulk was a man from Oklahoma, and we worked for Bill, and Mrs. Shipley was Norma's aunt. We had some good experiences down there. We actually set up and actually would even at the young age of 16, we would actually pick up young ladies in that were our neighbors, and we would have like a little dance, and we would dance for a little while, and we had all kinds of mostly Kool-Aid and things things like that.
You ever sneak any booze in there?
Huh?
You guys ever sneak any booze in or anything?
No.
You guys are good people.
No.
Oh gosh, God bless you.
No, we didn't. Yeah, there was no alcohol.
No alcohol.
Yeah, but anyway, then after we got through dancing, we'd actually put them back in the truck. It was actually a great kind of like a you couldn't do it today, but anyway, we would put everybody back in, and we would take them home, and things like that. So it was a good experience for me. The next experience that I had was when I graduated from Baptist Junior High School and went to Lincoln High School. I got a job with the United States Forestry, the California Forestry, up in Susanville, California.
How old?
This is during World War II.
So you were how old?
Where we were very hard up for anybody to especially men's work. And so this was the first experience. I met people up there that came from different forms of life. There was one friend that I ended up playing football with him at Lincoln High School. He was also up there. He was kind of a husky guy,
And you were like 14 or 15 day?
Yeah, I was about 15 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. If I was a little bit older, I could have actually had a job with the federal forestry, but I was too young. The state took me, but not the federal. We would actually go out and the only fires that I know that started were we had a lot of lightning storms, and the lightning would actually start the fires, all kinds of fires at different places, and we would actually go and actually put the fires out. If it got out of control, we would actually call in the federal forestry. At that time, there were men that were Italian prisoners of war and conscientious objectors. Both of them were guarded, and they would actually come up and help us put the fire out. Wow. Now, instead of being on the line fighting fire, they would take us. We would actually KP work. We would cut spuds and potatoes and things like that, and then we would actually work on the line and actually serve the not only the men that were fighting the fire, but also the Italian prisoners of war and the conscientious objectors as they would come to the line, and it was a good experience for me. After that, the next summers I would actually go down to Oakdale. And we would actually get a whole truckload full of baled hay. We would cut it up, and we'd actually shoot it into the barn. And this is we had about 80 cows that Bill Polk would actually milk. Now, I would say the worst job that I actually had on the farm was actually the people that were doing the milking. They wanted to go on vacation, and so Norman and I stepped in and actually took their place. But we had to get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and actually have the milk the cows. And we had to watch what the cow. Each cow was a little bit different. Sometimes they would someone would kick you, so you had to know whether that cow was just a gentle, just a nice gentle cow, or you had to watch yourself so you wouldn't get hurt. When I left Lincoln High School, I went to Cogswell College. This was actually right off Army Street, and between Army and Mission Street. Today, it's actually low-cost housing or city housing. But I went to Cogswell, learned tool and die. In 1948, the federal government was going to have universal military training, so I talked to my dad. My dad, the fellow that was his first class before the World War II, is now a lieutenant, and so we went down to the federal building in San Francisco, and I enlisted. To go to do the same type of work that my dad was doing. He was a submarine sailor, and I actually went to boot camp and then directly into to submarine school. I came out of submarine school, and I eventually went to sonar school and learned my trade. I actually got my first job on the USS Redfish as a sonarman, and it was a good experience for me. Went to the Navy, became actually the rating, because it was a brand new rating that originated from being a radioman. We if you passed the test, they would actually advance you. So at the end of my 5 years, well, actually I joined for 4 years, but the Korean War started, and Harry Truman says everybody does an extra year. So that was kind of normal. And so at the end of 5 years, I was a second class sonarman. I qualified in submarines on the USS Redfish, SS 395. I actually went out of when I was after the first cruise. I was transferred to the USS Blenny, SS 324. It was a guppy snorkel, and what they had done is right under the place where the men would eat, they took out the magazine that used to have 5-inch shells in there, and they put a sonar room. It was very, very nice outfit for me. It was all brand new sonar, nice smooth guppy snorkel going rapidly through the water. At a good rate of speed, but anyway, we eventually ended up at the end of my cruise up in San Francisco, and they were going to do some work on the submarine overhaul, and so I got out of the Navy. I worked several jobs outside the Navy. And so I wasn't doing quite well as I thought I should do.
Mm-hmm.
An example would be I went down to IBM and took their tests, and they were going to give me a job. I guess the electric typewriter in the 1950s was the fast moving item, and they said, well, we're going to put you in typewriters. I asked them if I could advance into computers, and they said, no, you stay in typewriters. And for some reason, I said, well, I think I'll go back into the Navy, and that's what I did. I spent 20 years in the Navy. I was on 5 diesel submarines and 5 nuclear power submarines, 1 destroyer. The destroyer was actually, when I reenlisted, I thought I would go right back to submarines, but they had a detailed down in Long Beach, California, on the USS Fechler DDR 870, and I became one of the sonarmen. It's a good group of men down there. I actually made first class on the Fechler. We started out in Long Beach. We went over to Korea. We went down to Korea. We actually went down to Vietnam during the Battle of Dien Bien Phu. We actually as plane guard for the Essex. But when the French capitulated down there, they just sent us to the Mediterranean, and went to the Mediterranean. I was contacted by the yeoman, and there was a call for these submarine sailors to go back to submarines because they were actually building new ones, and modernizing the new submarines. And so when I ended up in Rhode Island, I had orders to go down to New London, Connecticut, and I came up, went aboard USS Diablo. I had a bad experience on the Diablo, and I had a very good man that was in charge of me. He was a chief ET, we called him Red Man, and he said, Peralta, I think we're going to send you to shore duty. And so I ended up going to shore duty in San Diego, California. When we were down and actually in San Diego, I would come home on the weekends, and I actually met my future wife, Patricia Tracy. And after about a year, we decided we would get married. And so we got married, and then we came down, and we actually spent the next 2 years, me at the Sonar School, and Pat had our first child, Maureen Peralta, at the St. Mary's Hospital. When I was told to go back to sea, I put in to go back to nuclear power, and the only place they had nuclear power was on the East Coast, so they assigned me to they didn't have room on the nuclear power submarines, but they assigned me to fast attack submarines in New London, Connecticut, and it was the USS Trout, and I also was on the USS Harder. I started off with the Trout because the Harder was in repair, and I shipped over on the Trout, and then I transferred to the Harder. We eventually ended up going down to down south to Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Who was born in Charleston then?
My son was born in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yippee.
At the Naval Hospital. Maureen was born at St. Mary's in San Diego, and Ken was born at the Naval Hospital in Charleston, South Carolina. My other two children, I eventually got signed to commission the USS Thomas A. Edison, SSBN 610, up in New London, Connecticut, actually an electric boat in New London, in New London area. And we were getting ready. We had actually gone out to sea and fired missiles, and our missile things were okay. So we were actually going to go on patrol, our first patrol. It seems that we were going to have our third child, Laura. And so what I did was so that she would actually have family with her and some help out. I drove the car, and the family, Ken and Maureen, actually flew back with Pat back to Sonoma, California, where her parents were. After 3 months at sea, I came back in. But during that time, they took the auto that I had driven out there, my sister decided that she would help Pat drive the car and the kids actually back to Connecticut, and they did. I had done some repair. We had it on the engine. But I guess I didn't do it right. But anyway, it got all the way to Texas, and they had to stop and have it repaired again. And so then they got it repaired, and then we went to Connecticut. So that was pretty good. Yeah. I started doing three patrols on the Edison. That was a period of about 2 years, and I actually came back in and. I actually passed out one time, and I had other problems breathing, and so they decided that they would put me on shore duty, so I became the leading sonarman at the submarine school sonar section, and I did that for about a year, and then I got ready to re-enlist, and so I went to I had to go down and get an X-ray, and they found scars on my lungs, so I had to go down to St. Albans in Queens, New York, and they decided I had pulmonary sarcoidosis. I didn't have any medication. I just took care of myself. But anyway, they sent me back on 6 months limited duty back to the submarine school, sonar section. I did that portion, and then went back to the hospital again. And then they thought I was fit enough to go back, and not to finish my tour at the submarine school, but actually back to sea. So, I had a friend that I went to Class A school that was down at the Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C., and he called me, and he asked me if I would like to come down and work in Washington at the Naval Observatory. And I said, well, what do you guys do? And he says, well, I can't tell you. It was very highly classified work. I actually ended up riding submarines down there. I rode the Nautilus and the Triton and the Ray and the used Sturgeon before I got out of the Navy.
And so, wasn't Mary born in Connecticut, right?
Yeah. Actually, I skipped my youngest daughter. My youngest daughter Mary.
Sorry, Mary.
Was actually when I was at the submarine school in charge of the sonar section. My daughter Mary was actually born at the Naval Hospital on the submarine base in New London, Connecticut. So I had a Yankee and I had a Rebel. And I had two Californians, so
that's good. That's good. Let's move on, Dad. Give me one difficult moment in your life.
One difficult moment in my life. Concerning what?
I don't know. Something's tough on you.
Difficult. One of the things that after I got out of the hospital, and I thought I would be going back to the submarine school, but that he said you have to go back to sea, and then my friend called me, and so I took my whole family down to Washington, and we stayed at one of the chief's house, little houses, and he showed me the Naval Observatory and what I'd be doing down there. And so I thought this was a good thing for me to do, and so we went back and we decided we were actually going to move. Well, I ended up selling my house in Niantic, Connecticut, and to one of the engineers at Electric Boat, and we moved down there. So this is actually the second house that I sold when I was back on the East Coast. When we moved to Charleston, we found it was better to actually buy a house in Charleston under new construction than actually rent. And so when I got assigned to the Edison, Pat got a little frustrated, and Maureen got asthma, little asthma attacks, and then we had Kenneth, and so it got a little bit too much for her. So she called me up when I was in Boston going to Raytheon School and a sonar school, and she says, I sold the house and I'm coming up. And so,
really?
So Pat drove all the way up with the children, and we stayed at a place in Boston. It was a kind of like apartment on the second floor. Mm-hmm. So that was a little bit different experience.
That was the first
time that I had to actually put chains on tires so I could go through the snow. That was a new experience, but it was a good experience. So.
Okay. Dad, tell me about two people who have been big influences in your life. One or two.
Well, the actually my childhood friends that I still have today, that I grew up in San Francisco, was Norman McDonald. He was we chummed around. He went to different schools than I did. He went from. From Commodore Sloat, he went to St. Ignatius High School, which is a Catholic school, and I stayed in the public school system. I went to Lincoln High School, but we became friends. He invited me down to Oakdale, California, to work at the Pocket Shipley Ranch, and I did all kinds. I took care of sheep.
Yeah, he told us about that one.
Okay,
already.
Yeah,
that's
all
good.
That
yeah. Who else? So, what was another?
The one that really. Was a Red Man who was my his chief ET. He was my 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 man that was in charge of my division on the Redfish, and he was the one that decided that Peralta, you need to go to shore duty. I was on the verge of probably becoming an alcoholic, so I had to kind of step away from what I was doing, and change my life. So I went down to Norfolk and went to instructor school. I graduated from the instructor school in Norfolk, and I went down to the sonar school in San Diego, California. And that was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. It allowed me to get married, to have a family, have children, and actually stabilize my life for me.
There we go. What are you most proud of personally, Dad, in a personal experience or professionally in your life? What are you most proud of?
Well, the thing I'm most proud of is my service to my country. I was a second generation submarine sailor. My dad was a motor machinist mate, and I think he when I came out of submarine school, my other uncle was also with my dad in machinery. He sent me to radio school and then eventually to sonar school because. He said, "No, you don't want to be an engine man." He said, "We're gonna get you some other job that's on the submarines." And so, I became a sonarman. I had very good ears, so that really helped me out. These were actually the men that helped me out.
Fantastic. What are you most grateful for?
I'm most grateful for the family that I have. My wife and I were married. My first wife, Patricia, and I were married for 40 years. She died of was diabetic and died of pancreatic cancer. But we struggled together. We had children together. We loved each other, and we actually took care of each other. And so the other thing that I'm really happy is being able to find somebody when I was 70 years old that would share my life with me, and that's
it's Olivia.
Olivia Field. So Olivia and I have been married 11 years, and it's not easy, but we keep moving ahead. You know, I'm at least 20 years older than Olivia, and I do have some hearing problems and some sight problems that we have to work out, but we're working at it, so that's the way it is.
How would you like to be remembered?
I'd like to be remembered as the person to help my children. All of them actually graduated from college. I don't know how much I was instrumental in actually doing that for them. I think it was mostly my wife, but we actually, they all went to kind of like either San Francisco State or San Jose State type colleges, and they all have done very well in their lives. They've all had families, and we're all connected, and we're still connected together. So to me, the family is the most important part of your life, and so we're still all together, and that's the important part of my life.
Good. Thinking about your family, Dad, many generations from now, and knowing that your family may hear this, is there anything you want to say to them? Any wisdom or advice you'd like to share?
You need to get your education. Try to get as much education as you can, at least through college. Pick a field that you're going to be happy at. You know, you're going to advance in that field if you're happy with what you're doing. It might be a struggle to get there, but I think you just keep moving ahead with your education and your experience. I think each one of you need to pick out a very good either wife or a husband, and try to share the same values that you have, I think you'll do that. In other words, have family, have a good job that you like to do, and also provide for your children. And I think you're going to enjoy your visit to the world, and hope to see you when you decide to come and visit me up in heaven.
Great. There's Theo barking. Can you tell me about one of your happiest memories? What's one of the happy memory, Dad?
Happiest memory. One of my happiest memories was actually the birth of my daughter Maureen Peralta. Just to have the something new and exciting in your life that you're going to end up taking care of all your life. Do they have arms and legs, and other? Can they see all right? Can they walk? It's the experience of having children is the greatest experience. I think all four of my children were a grand experience, but the first child is because of
she is special, Mo.
Yeah, it's different.
We love Mo. Yeah. The best. Anyway. All right, Dad, well, I'll tell you what. I appreciate you spending some time.
And okay.
This is going to be around way after you're gone or way after I'm gone. So it's going to be good to hear our, my son and his kids and all the other kids and the grandkids, when they have their families, talk to Big O,
okay.
the mighty Oscar Peralta, hopefully I could be half the man you are, Dad.
Okay. No, you're. Don't worry about it, Ken. You're at least is probably better than I am.
No.
Hey, God
that.
Bless you.
God bless you. I love you, Dad.
God bless you, Ken.
All right. See you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, we're done.